Welcome to Pastor Goss Sunday School Class, a weekly gathering in the main fellowship hall of Faith Assembly, North Fort Myers, Florida, featuring the insightful and relevant teaching of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. Thank you for joining us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
We're going to start, pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago. And so as we get into this, I want to remind you of something, because it has bearing on what we're going to look at today. He tells the people in the last verse that we just read before this one, in verse 21, he says, look, I want your righteousness to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, right? And we know that's because their righteousness was all external, and he wants righteousness to be internal, correct? So that's why he said that. So now he's going to go to meddling. And he's going to start getting specific with some stuff. And today we're going to look at anger. Next week we're going to look at lust and marriage and divorce and all those things. He starts getting into all of those things. So let's begin. He begins with the prohibition of murder. The prohibition of murder. I'll wait for you to write it down so that you can spell it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. You have heard that our ancestors were told. Now, stop right there. You have to remember, these people do not have a Bible. Correct? Most of them cannot read. Probably 95, 98, 99% of them. So how do they know what's right and wrong? They've been told. Oral tradition is what it's called. So you've been told. You have heard. You hear that a lot when Jesus is teaching. Why does he say it? Because that's exactly how it worked for them. All right? So you have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment. Now, you must not murder is one of the Ten Commandments. You're subject to judgment was not in the Ten Commandments. So he's made it a little bit harder, made it a little bit tougher. So he begins to explain this process. He begins to talk to them about what's going on. So he begins with this act of selfishness, which is murder. Murder is committed when a person removes another human being from this life and they have no concern for that person's life or loved ones. So you murder someone. It's an issue of a heart, isn't it? It's an issue of wanting somebody gone. It's an issue of inconvenience. So there's murder that takes place. Okay, this might be hard, but I think I need to say it. Abortion is murder. It's someone who takes a life of someone else with no concern about the life of another, only thinking about my life. That is murder. Now, murder is not when you go to war and when you are involved in having to kill an enemy. It is not about a hatred towards somebody necessarily. It is about a function that has to happen because of standing for something that is right. Murder is not involved in capital punishment. When someone is punished because of what they did, they murdered someone, capital punishment is not murder. And so we have to understand, murder means I want someone else's life to be ended. And I begin to take steps to see that that happens. And anyone that does that is subject to judgment. Now, when we're going to talk about judgment, we're going to talk about it a little bit later on, so I'm not going to get into a lot of it today. You have to understand there's different kinds of judgment throughout life. There's the great white throne judgment, where every person who's ever lived stands before God and is judged according to saved or not saved. There's the judgment that saints have. Their works are going to be judged. Wood, hay, stubble, or precious, you know, that's judgment. And so there's judgment that happens here. You don't do this, your life is going to suffer a consequence for it. That's a judgment, isn't it? It's a judgment I bring on myself. All right? So that's what he says. Now, if that was all he said, we'd be okay, I think, right? Most of us are good with that. We understand it, correct? We got that definition out of the way. Okay, but he goes a step farther, and now he talks about the problem with anger. The problem with anger. Verse 22. Remember, you've heard it said, don't murder, judgment. Verse 21, you've heard it said, murder, judgment. 22, but I say. Whole nother thing now, he's brought things up to another level. If you are even angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. Now, suddenly he's up the stakes a little bit, hasn't he? We were good with the first one. Now, suddenly it gets uncomfortable, doesn't it? Now, suddenly it brings it home, right? Because if we're all honest, anger is something that every person in the room has to deal with. We're not going to sit here and say, I know some of you don't deal with this. That would not be truthful, would it? Every person deals with this in some way or the other. And so he says, okay, you've heard it said that if you murder somebody, it's wrong and you're subject of judgment. Yeah, they'll be shaking their heads. And now he goes, but I say to you, and that's how everybody's jaws kind of drop. Everything gets a little bit quiet. And what he basically says is, you don't need to kill a person physically for you to have an act of murder in your heart. And if in your heart you want to eliminate another person, you show hatred and you violate that commandment. Now he just made, people say, well, he did away with the Old Testament. Well, he didn't. He told us he came to fulfill it. He just made the Old Testament harder. The Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, they're a piece of cake now compared to what he's doing. And so he's really up in the bar, isn't he? What's he doing? He's taking it from an outward act to an inward act. And that's what he's saying. Your righteousness has got to become greater than. It's no longer about just what you do on the outside. Now it's also about what you do on the inside. And so they'd be going, let's see, does the Old Testament with the law, does it have anything to say about anger? No. Nothing. But suddenly now, he brings it up. You know, don't understand it. And so there's this anger. If you're angry, you're going to get judgment. There's internal anger. Some people don't ever show it outside, but internally they get angry and they seethe. And maybe on the outside they're smiling, but inside they're angry. There's external anger. Some people, I look at it this way. You either explode externally or you implode. Both are destructive. And so if you express your anger, you're wrong. If you think it, you're wrong. Uh-oh. Okay. My wife has a question. Go ahead.
If someone passes along, or somebody makes me angry, and I share that with somebody else, I've not murdered them, but I probably have hurt their reputation.
That's called slander. Slander is a form of murder. You are destroying someone else. Okay? And I'm going to touch on that a little bit. Just hold on. Okay? I'll get there. Maybe. Ephesians 4:26. Don't sin by letting anger control you. Why is that important? Because then, when you get angry, you lose control. Right? Anger causes you to lose control. You say things you shouldn't say, maybe don't normally say. You do things you don't do or normally do. And so he says, don't sin by letting anger be in control. And by the way, that's one of the definitions, I'm going to get to it, of how, well, how can I be angry and not sin? That's one of the definitions, okay? When anger has control, I've sinned. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. So if you're angry when you go to bed and still angry when you get up, that's sin. Anger gives the devil a foothold. That's a huge statement. So when you get angry, you have opened the door for Satan to cause you to do something, say something that you should not say or do. You give him access. When angry people start expressing anger, Satan gets into a place of influence. And so I've broken this down, and please hear me. I'm going to give you 3 degrees of anger, but understand they're all kind of muddied. It's not that easily separated, but I want to do it just a little bit because I know that would be the question to me when I'm talking, when I'm thinking about doing this. Well, how do I be angry and not sin? Okay? Let's look at that a little bit. First of all, there's justifiable anger. Okay, this is what we would call righteous anger, or as the spiritual people would call it, my righteous indignation. And usually I've found that righteous indignation is usually not so righteous. Okay? It's when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're grieved by what you see. Now, let me put it to you this way. Your heart will ache, but you won't be agitated. Your heart will be broken, but you won't take it out on anybody. It's when you speak the truth in love, you don't do it because you have an agenda. You do it because you care. You hurt for somebody, and so you want to help, and you'll be calm. Don't have to have personal feeling. You speak objectively, because it says the wisdom that comes from above is gentle, it's peace-loving. And you won't be abrasive. Righteous anger, because God's honor's at stake. And you're standing up for what you know Scripture teaches about what God is like and what he is, who he is and what he's about, and you're not going to take it out on people. Is that kind of clear? Okay, justifiable, heartbroken. When Jesus was angry, it broke his heart of what was taking place because they were desecrating the temple. They were desecrating what the Father thought. It was about honoring God. He wasn't mad at the money changers. He was mad that they were changing money. He was mad that they were charging too much. He was mad that they were taking God's house, and his house was for something else, and it shouldn't be used for this. All right? Then there's jealous anger. Now, this is the anger where there's nothing righteous here. It's when name-calling comes in. Now, the Scripture, you call somebody a fool, or you say in King James, raka, like you're coughing up a hawker or something. That's literally what the word is, raka. That's how you say, you know, that's how it's said. That, you know, you're at there, you are calling somebody's character into question. Empty-headed, nitwit, blockhead, numbskull. Not just using a word, but it's the attitude behind it. It's not the word you say, it's the attitude you say it with. And you see, when we get jealous of others, we want them to look stupid and us to look good. And so you say things to make them look bad. You say things, you talk about things so that you bring them in the question. You slander them. You gossip about them. Why? Because you want to look better than they look. And that's always wrong. You and I are to build people up, not tear them down. Well, I'm not really angry with him. I just think people... No, there's anger inside of you. That they have something that you don't, and you think they're getting ahead, and you're not, and that's jealous. That's wrong. Okay, we good? Thirdly, judgmental anger. And this is where he takes it even a little bit farther apart. You know, you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell. That person should go to hell. That person, for what they've done, even if they've done something horrendous, you and I are not the judge. And you might get bad at somebody that did something, and everybody might share in your indignation. They should not do that. They shouldn't. And I've heard it. People said they shouldn't get by with that. Somebody needs to kill them. Somebody needs to lie. Somebody needs to do that, blah, blah. You aren't the judge. God always shows mercy. And he shows grace. And you and I don't get to judge another person's heart. And if I judge someone and think they're guilty of hell, that they don't deserve another chance, that life is over for them, and I wish they'd get locked up and go away, I'm not just judging their intelligence, I'm playing God. And I've determined that that person's no good. And Matthew 7 says, do not judge others, you will not be judged. For you will be treated as you treat others. The standard you use in judging is the standard by which you will be judged. James talks about this. James chapter 3, verse 5. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. Wow, that's pretty hard. Yes. Yeah, you probably need to stop playing graphic cop. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Wow, that's hard, isn't it? Now, keep that in mind, because of what I'm going to do a little later here today, it's going to get even worse. You think this is hard? Just wait. We're not quite there yet, but we will be, and you're not going to like it either. James chapter 1, verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. Humbly accept the word God's planted in your hearts. It has the power to save your souls. That's pretty strong language. Amen. Jeff, that's exactly what he's saying. Okay? Yes.
So what this points out to me is the law was given to prove that we were all guilty.
And that's what Jesus says. The law proves we're all guilty. Because, probably if we're honest, all of us in this room, at some point in our life, have maybe had one of those thoughts about one person, maybe. Okay, maybe two. I'll stop there. Okay? Yes?
Like on social media.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Nasty word. Every now and then you open up a page and your stomach gets tight because you know it's
yep.
all going to be.
Yep. Yeah. Because we're good at judging people, aren't we? Because we think we're better. And the moment you become, now let me put it this way. The moment you become judgmental, there's some anger in your life. Somewhere. All right? All right, let's move on. I want to get this done. The ability to praise God freely. The ability to praise God freely. All right, now, next verse, Matthew 5:23, so. That means it's tied to the previous two verses, correct? So, you murdered, don't get angry. So, if you are, he's going to get practical here. If you are presenting a sacrifice to the altar in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. I hate this. Because I want you to know, first of all, let's explain something. These people are still worshiping under the Old Testament, correct? The temple is still in place. So what Jesus says, when you go to offer your sacrifice, as all of them would have to do, to God at his place he has designated for you to do that, when you go to do that, if you suddenly remember that somebody's got something against you, leave your sacrifice, leave it there, and go and make it right. Now, that person could have traveled for days to come to the temple.
And no cars.
Yeah, no cars. Maybe you get a slow donkey, but that's about it, okay? No cars. Go make it right, and then come back. Now, what I specifically don't like about this is it's not saying if I've got something against someone. It's saying if you know someone has something against you. Now, that could be a pretty long list. Right? So in modern terms, it would look this way. You come to church on Sunday morning. You begin to praise God. And if the Holy Spirit begins speaking to you, as he has this way of doing, right? He gets into your junk. And he suddenly brings to your mind, you know what? You know this person is having a hard time with you. You know this person has been offended. Make it right. Literally, now don't take it literally, I don't think, but he's saying, look, don't wait much longer until you make this right. Because you can go up front and be prayed for 100 times. You can praise God in all kinds of services. But until you make it right, it's going to be in you. And there's going to be a struggle. Boy, that hurts. Well, they did this to me. Well, you don't understand what they did. It wasn't my fault. It doesn't say that here, does it? Yes, ma'am.
What if they're not willing?
Doesn't say, well, if they're willing. It says you go as far as it's possible with you. You live at peace. So if I go, say I'm sorry, I don't want this to happen, and they don't receive that, I've done all I can do. I'm not going to go because they won't accept it. No, you still go. Yes? That's fine. I have still done my part to do what I can to live at peace with them. It doesn't matter how they're going to respond. It doesn't matter what they say. I'm just responsible to do what I can do. And if I go and ask, God's giving them another chance to change. Now, if they don't accept that, I can go back in peace. Because I've known I've been obedient.
So you're saying even if they say, no more contact,
right? Yep. If they say no more contact and you've tried, then I'm released. Now, I say that, but I'll also say this. I believe it's possible for the Holy Spirit to come back to us and say, give it another shot. Because God is a God who gives us different chances. Yes?
What about church discipline?
Same type of thing. But the first part is you go by yourself. Right? That's a whole, that's another issue, you know, but yes, that's a part of it, if I got to resolve this. But there are some things that, okay, they're not going to be resolved. But I have to do my part in what I can. And so I have to be willing to go and do what God tells me to do. And so when you come to God to worship, and when you understand there's some things not right between you and somebody else, you go and do what you can to make it right. Well, I haven't done anything. Well, they won't accept it. That's not the call. You've done what you can do. Now, here's the problem, and I don't think I'm alone in this. When we get angry, we all feel a little justified in our anger, don't we? I have a right to be angry. But that's not acceptable here, is it? The answer is no. Okay, just so you know. Okay, yes. We can make a phone call. We can do what we can do. So what have I got to do? When God starts dealing with me, what have I got to do to have that released? To know that I've done it. Sometimes a phone call. Sometimes he said, no, I want you to go personally. That's where I have to listen to what God's telling me to do. Hebrews 12:14. Work at living in peace with everyone. Work at living a holy life. Those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. I call bitterness the cancer of inside spiritually. Usually that bitterness is caused by unforgiveness. And you've got to deal with it so that you don't get bitter. And so, internal anger, bitterness, murder in your heart. Well, but they did this to me. I've been very, very wronged by them. This is hard. Yeah, it is. And so, brother's got something against you. Don't justify it. You deal with it. Maybe you lost your temper with them. Maybe you had righteous indignation with them. But when you're standing in here, have you ever noticed that when you're standing in church sometimes and singing or something, the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you about something? He's so good at that, isn't he? It's so great when he does that. Yeah, it is. Because he's helping us. And so he does what he can do. So here's what he's saying. And I think this principle you know. Our vertical relationship with God will not be what it should be as long as our horizontal relationship with others are not what they should be. My relationship with God is affected by my relationship with others. Amen. And if my relationship with others is not right, my relationship with God will not be right. And so Jesus is saying, look, you've been angry. There's some things that have happened, some things you've said, some attitudes that's been exchanged, some ways of doing things. You go make it right. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Do it as soon as you can. Don't put it off. Now, he's not saying here you need to walk out of the service and go do it. But he is saying that, look, are you going to deal with it sometime this week? Are you going to put this into the right place? As far as it's possible with you, can you live like you should? Because until you get that right with them, you and I aren't going to be right. But obedience better than sacrifice. In fact, since you said it, Psalm 51:16, you do not desire a sacrifice. I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Well, you don't know what they did to me. I don't. Doesn't matter. All right. Another question? Okay.
I've had this happen before. We before taking communion. And the attitude of going and reconciling with that person is not an attitude of pointing out their wrong. The attitude is, I am sorry.
Right.
And that's the only attitude that can be.
Right.
It cannot be of reconciling. I can right. only say I'm sorry for me. I can't
okay.
force somebody else.
Thus we go into the next point. The pardon you must give your adversary. The pardon you must give your adversary. Okay? Verse 25. Same text. Still dealing with anger. Still there. When you're on your way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Now, understand something. In this case, remember back in the Old Testament, we're told that Moses was getting wore out because all the people brought their stuff to him? So when he's talking about this, there was groups set up that if you had a conflict with someone, you went to them as kind of a mediator. They would then kind of restore order and be the ones. They would be in each community. They would be the judges. They would be the ones at the city gate. They would be the ones who would help take care of disputes. It was built into their frame. And so he's saying, look, when you're on your this way to go into there, and you and your adversary are there, and you've got a problem, disagreement, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to a judge. In other words, hey, this isn't working out. You're going to have to go to a higher authority. You're going to have to go to someone else who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you pay the last penny. Now, Jesus has told this story before, later on, and we understand from what he uses it as, you'll never be able to pay the last penny. Hard to pay the penny when you're in prison, right? And so, he says, when you have something against somebody, you deal with it quickly. Here's one of the problems with anger. You can't let it go on. You don't let the sun go down. Anger should never last long. And if you got an issue with somebody, you deal with it right away. Well, but I'm right and they're wrong. Maybe. Well, you know, they don't understand my side. Maybe. You see, anger also has to do with pride. I think I'm right. I think they're wrong. I think I should get my way. They shouldn't get theirs. And what he's saying here is, look, don't let your anger continue on so that you build an irreparable breach with someone. Because if you don't let it go, you're going to end up in a prison of your own making that's going to end up destroying your life. Now, here's one of the words we would use to say about this person. They are stubborn. Have you ever noticed that angry people are usually stubborn people? I'm right. You're wrong. I don't care what you say. I don't care about you. I'm going to be right. It doesn't matter. In other words, you've created murder. You don't have a valid point in my mind. I've got the only valid points there are. And rather than settling the matter, what do? We stick to our guns, don't we? And the result is, our enemy hands us over. Our enemy says, I'm done with you. And so, relationship is destroyed and damaged. Anger isn't let go, it's held on to. And you end up being in jail. When you get angry, the person you hurt the most is you. Because anger wants there to be fairness, doesn't there? The problem is, it's the angry person who thinks they're being fair. Proverbs 18:19. An offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. So Jesus says, I want you to be meek. I want you to settle matters quickly. I don't want them to get to a point where you've got to bring in a third party to mediate this and bring it back. You take care of this. Now, what he's saying is this. You be willing to not get your way. Angry people have to have their way. Thus, anger, they raise the bar, their voice level goes up, it becomes a power play. I will get what I want, and if you stand in my way, I will mow you over, and if I can't do that physically, I will do it intimidationally with words. Proverbs 17:14. Starting a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. So stop before a dispute breaks out. Well, I'm right, isn't the issue. Getting along with people is more important than you being right. Well, people might take advantage of me. They might, so what? It's coming to that place where we understand that God is in control and God will take care of things. And so he says, settle matters. Settle it. What Noam mentioned before, it works like this. Let's say there's two people, friends, marriage, you can put it however you want, they're having a disagreement, a fight. Now they've got a choice, don't they? They can either decide, look, we're going to settle this and come to a resolution. And by the way, most people's problem is not a lack of communication, it's a lack of conflict resolution. You've communicated very well, often, many times, in many ways. You're just stubborn enough that you want your way. And you're not willing to let it go. And Jesus is saying here, look, if you're going to court with somebody, you settle this up. And let's say those two people decide not to and they go to a mediator. Well, what happens is, have you ever noticed that when you get into a disagreement with somebody, you start talking to somebody else? Because you see, when you're having a disagreement with somebody, you want other people to take your side, don't you? And so you tell them your side of the story, don't you? And in the case of two people, there's always three sides to a story. Their side, your side, and the truth. Always. Well, I'm right. I did this. Oh, yeah, you poor thing. And suddenly now you've got teams. Then you got your people over here and their people over here, and you're all going at each other. Now you've divided not just the two of you. Now you've divided people. And if you don't settle it, you will live in prison for the rest of your life because of your stubbornness. A prison of your own making. That's where Jesus says there's going to be judgment. He doesn't have to say, I'm going to stab you with lightning. He just says, here's the judgment. If you are refusing to operate in a way where you love one another and give mercy and grace to people, where you give forgiveness, and when you are determined to serve one another in love, when you are determined to act like my disciples, I will give you a life that you cannot understand. But if you determine to do your own thing and go your own way, you will create a prison in your life that you will live in for the rest of your life because you've been too stubborn to settle it. And that's where Satan has the foothold. I'll let you be stubborn. You hold on to it. You're right. He whispered. You're right. Then nobody knows what they've done. You don't understand what it's like. You're the innocent party here. And how many people are there that are living in prison? A lot. All because anger. Well, I'm not really mad, I'm just upset. No, you're mad. Well, I'm right and I haven't feeling this way. No, you're not. Not if it's causing barriers between you and another person.
So is the answer to pick up your cross?
The answer is to forgive. The answer is, as he says, settle it. Settle it. Do what you can to bring peace. Because if you don't and you keep it going on and you make it to that person and you make it to this person, you might get thrown in jail. And maybe that's not what you intended. Well, I'm right. There's a lot of prisoners in jail today who think they're right. So this is a big deal that he now takes this. Your righteousness has to be greater than the righteousness of the Pharisees. And he just begins. And he now goes to another subject after this one, which we will pick up next week.
If you would like to hear more from Pastor Goss or the Ministry of Faith Assembly, please go to our website, faith.ag, or email Pastor Goss at phil@faithnfm.com. Pastor Goss Sunday School Class is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida. Thanks for listening.